training camp, but now it's official. Colts quarterback Andrew Luck will miss the entire season after shoulder surgery back in January. The team puts Luck on injured reserve today. He tells Colts.com that he's very optimistic about his future. Another setback for the Cavaliers, forward Tristan Thompson will probably be out for 3 to 4 weeks with a strained left calf. The Cavaliers have lost 4 in a row. They'll play the Wizards tomorrow night at 7 Eastern on ESPN. Angels outfielder Justin Upton will stay in Anaheim. He gets a new 5-year contract, adding a year to the deal in exchange for not opting out of his old contract, which he could have done by Saturday.
Want an easy way to see if you could save money on car insurance? GEICO gives you 3. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. 3 ways you could save 15% or more.
It's time for some straight talk. Greeny, you love your phone, don't you?
I'm updating my fantasy roster on it as we speak.
But I'm guessing you don't love your pricey wireless plan, what with all the mystery fees and data overages every month.
Oh, you got that right.
What if I told you that you could keep that phone you love, but pay a whole lot less every month?
Well, I'm in.
With Straight Talk Wireless, you can actually keep your same phone, your same number, even your same network, but for a whole lot less than you're paying right now. It's kind of like getting a number one starting quarterback
for the price of a backup kicker.
Steal of the draft.
Bring your own phone to Straight Talk Wireless. Our unlimited plan with 10 gigabytes at high speed, then 2G, is just $45 a month. With nationwide coverage on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Montgomery with NFL Network now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The legal fight over Zeke Elliott's 6-game suspension isn't over yet. Lawyers for the Cowboys star filed an emergency injunction and expedited appeal with the U.S. Circuit Court Wednesday. But if those efforts fail, Elliott's suspension will start this Sunday. Elsewhere, the NFL granted Josh Gordon preliminary reinstatement. He'll be eligible to play again starting November 27th. The Browns receiver last played 2014. Brock Osweiler will start for the Broncos at quarterback over Trevor Siemian on Sunday. It'll be his first start in his second tour in Denver. Joe Flacco cleared the NFL's concussion protocol. He practiced in full Wednesday. So did Leonard Fournette, who missed the Jaguars' last game with an ankle injury. Titans first-round pick Corey Davis also a full go at practice after missing 5 games with a hamstring injury. And the Lions activated Taylor Decker from the PUP list. The left tackle has been out since June following shoulder surgery. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 1313 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 1313.
Napa know-how.
Making your budget last longer than it should is an accomplishment, but making motor oil last longer than it should? Dangerous. Lucky for you, Pennzoil Full Synthetic is only $4.99 a quart. Its long-lasting formula and low price can help your engine and your wallet go farther. Pennzoil Full Synthetic for $4.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 12/31/17.
504, welcome back in and welcome to hour number 2 of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming your way on all 3 KGYM frequencies. 106.3 FM, that's our South Gym in Iowa City. 107.5 FM is our North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM is Old Reliable. You can hear us on that all across eastern Iowa. Just a reminder that it is time to fall back this weekend, and what better time than right now to hook you up with a brand new women's watch from Hertin and Stocker Jewelers in downtown Iowa City. Caller number 6 right now, 319-366-1600, is going to take home our watch tonight, and you do have to come by the station and pick this up. And it is, I was very clear about this, we are down to ladies' watches at this point. So Big thank you to Hertine and Stocker, located at 101 South Dubuque Street on the Ped Mall in Iowa City. Stop by and stop on in and congratulate a member of the Dickens family on 70 years in business. One of them is always there. And they also bring us the Hertine and Stocker text line here at KGYM. That number is the same, 366-1600. You can use it to reach out to us during the remainder of the program. Brent Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com will be with us at the bottom of the hour. Woodja is on tap tonight as well. The Astros winning the World Series last night in 7 games, second consecutive year that the World Series has gone the distance. Of course, the Cubs beat the Indians in 7 on the road, just as the Astros did to the Dodgers yesterday or last night in at Chavez Ravine Dodger Stadium. George Springer is the most valuable player, and this was all foreseen by Sports Illustrated and writer Ben Ryder in 2014. I still have that, I think, issue of Sports Illustrated for some reason. I just saw it a couple months ago when I was cleaning, and they had George Springer on the cover. And the headline in 2014 said, "The Houston Astros, your 2017 World Series champion." And it was an article largely centered on Jeff Lunau, who's the general manager of the Astros, who came to that organization from the St. Louis Cardinals, and the changes, the analytics that he was implementing in Houston, and that this was all going to ultimately pay off 3 years down the road with an extremely competitive team. And what did the Astros do? Well, they had George Springer already at the major league level, but in 2012 they had drafted Carlos Correa. They had signed Jose Altuve as an international free agent and brought him up through their farm system. Had some other draft picks as well, including a couple that didn't work out. But one of those draft picks, Mark Appel, was traded to the Philadelphia Phillies for Ken Giles, who was the closer on this year's team. They got a compensation pick for not being able to sign Brady Aiken in one of the drafts. They turned that compensation pick into Alex Bregman out of LSU. And then they were also able to go out and bring in some veterans, guys like Carlos Beltran, who 20 years in the major leagues, Carlos Beltran had never won a World Series until last night. He was in tears after the game was over. Brian McCann, another veteran who I believe that was his first World Series as well, World Series victory. Justin Verlander is going to get a ring. And then he's going to go to Italy and get married to Kate Upton. He's missing the celebration because he's going to Italy with his Sports Illustrated swimsuit model fiance. Fair or foul? Now, that's completely fair if you ask me, but they built the team in a very similar vein to what the Chicago Cubs did, primarily drafting a core of very young, talented players and then supplementing it with veterans, guys like Brian McCann. I don't think you can say enough about having a veteran behind the plate like Brian McCann to work with those veteran pitchers like Justin Verlander and Dallas Keuchel. Keuchel is a guy that they developed in their farm system. Lance McCullers, who started the game last night, was one of the guys that they developed in that farm system. That 2012 draft gave them Carlos Correa, Lance McCullers Jr., and a third baseman by the name of Rio Ruiz, who was traded to the Atlanta Braves in one of the minor league deals that Lunau was in tune with making to bolster the major league roster. So they did a tremendous job with that draft. They could have taken Byron Buxton or somebody else number one overall, and they had correctly identified that Carlos Correa out of Puerto Rico was likely to be a very good major league player, but one that could sign for a little bit less money that they could use elsewhere in the draft, and then they used it to sign players like Lance McCullers Jr., who turns out to be a big part of that World Series run last night. 5-10, what do you think of the Astros as the 2017 World Series champion? 319-366-1600. By the way, congratulations to Mike in Cedar Rapids, the winner of tonight's watch from Hertin and Stocker Jewelers.
What did you say the name of the SI writer was that predicted this in 2013?
Ben Reiter.
Ben Reiter.
R-E-I-T-E-R. I'm assuming that it's Reiter. It could be pronounced Ritter. I'm ignorant and I don't know.
Does he need to write anything else after that?
I saw somebody suggest on Twitter this morning that he just needs to write the game story and then ride off into the sunset. He was covering the World Series. And I look, there's calling your shot. There's Babe Ruth in 1932 at Wrigley Field reportedly pointing to the bleachers and hitting the home run off Charlie Root. That's calling your shot. And then there's calling this. Now, what they were saying was, look, the Astros aren't very good in 2014, but there's a model and a process in place. Sam Hinkie, who was the former general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers, tweeted this morning that he loves when a plan comes together. And Hinkie was reviled in Philadelphia for constantly trading away draft picks, constantly going young in an effort to rebuild. And, of course, the phrase was trust the process. And now look at the 76ers, an organization that's on the cusp of being competitive after years of not being competitive and doing so on purpose. Now, you can get mad at the Astros for doing it. You can get mad at the Chicago Cubs for doing it. You can get mad at your favorite NFL team for tanking. It's become I guess you could say an accepted practice.
Yes, it has. But last three teams to win the World Series all went through it.
If I told you that you had to go through 3 to 5 years of absolute misery, but in year 4 or 6, you got to celebrate, but you had to go through the bad times.
That's
tough. That's what you're asking your fans to do, and that's why it's not for every organization. Look what the Chicago White Sox are trying to do. They saw what the Cubs accomplished on the north side of Chicago, and they tore down their roster last year, completely gutted it, made a couple trades with the Red Sox and the Nationals, and outside of Jose Abreu, they completely flipped that roster around, even trading guys like Todd Frazier at the deadline this year. But they're acquiring a ton of young talent, guys like Yoan Moncada, and then pitchers like Ronaldo Lopez, Lucas Giolito. And they're doing so in the hopes that by being bad for a couple years, they can eventually be really good for a long time. And that's what it's all about. It's not about being good in the short term. It's about the Astros have Carlos Correa for several years, and they have him relatively affordably because they drafted him. And they've got George Springer for a couple more years on a deal that they worked out because he was a Astros draft pick. And they've got Jose Altuve, who's going to be there for several more years. That's what it's all about. So it's not short term. It's bad for 3 to 5 years, and then the hope is by being that bad for that long, you have almost as equally lengthy window for success. And I see a lot of people saying that the Astros, because McCann and Beltran and Verlander and all these veterans, that they're not built for to make a run at this again. Come on. Alex Bregman had a breakout World Series. Correa is a superstar. George Springer had a tremendous World Series, rode it all the way to the MVP. He's a very good player. They've got young pitching. The Astros aren't going anywhere. I don't know where people get that idea.
I think they're going to be competitive for a long time, and I think that right now there are teams that have done this that are reaping the benefits of the rewards for what they've done. The question that I have is, can any franchise do this? Will it work for any franchise? We're going to find out because the Miami Marlins, I'll put a dollar in the swear jar, are about to try this. The Detroit Tigers are about to try this. The Oakland A's have been doing this for years and years and years. Can it work in a small market where once that player that you have reaches the end of their rookie contract, or their first major league contract, you can't afford to keep them? It just is an interesting dilemma for these small market teams because 3 to 5 years is a long time to have lower attendance and lower, just low win totals to kind of push for that 3 years into the future. So we're going to find out if it works for small market teams, because it certainly worked for the big market teams.
And that's where you get a guy who you realize that you can no longer afford, and then you try to work out a deal where you move him and get something in return, so that you're perpetually in a state of trying to replenish the farm system, because championships are not going to be purchased moving forward. The economics of baseball and sports in general, NFL, NBA, it's too expensive and too risky to go out and sign a ton of free agents, because you don't want to be stuck with a roster of one Jason Hayward contract, let alone three or four of those contracts on your roster, going out there and just being the big spender the way that the Angels were.
Yes.
A couple years
Perfect
ago.
Example.
C.J. Wilson and Albert Pujols within a matter of hours at the winter meetings one year.
And then
year.
Josh Hamilton the next year.
And everybody said, wow, look at the Angels. They're making this commitment and they're winning. And the Angels haven't won the World Series since they beat the Giants and Dusty Baker back in 2002. And Pujols was terrible this year. Hamilton's not even with the team anymore. And Wilson's career is essentially over.
The moment that I knew that this was going to become a trend in baseball was not necessarily the Cubs, not necessarily the Astros. It was last year when we saw the New York Yankees doing it at the trade deadline and acquiring all that young talent and building for the future. And it turns out that they were a year ahead of schedule. But when the Yankees, who are known for doing exactly what you just said in the 90s and 2000s, trying to buy championships, having the largest payroll in Major League Baseball, when you saw them doing it, I knew it was going to become a trend. And you even look on the other side, the Los Angeles Dodgers, they had the highest payroll in the league for the last 2 to 3 seasons, and they had a lot of guys that were way past their prime, but the guys that came in and helped propel this World Series run are the players that they acquired through good trades, good signings, and homegrown as well.
Yeah, you can afford to go out and spend a ton of money when you're saving it, because Corey Seager is a guy that you drafted, Jock Peterson's a guy that you drafted, and you're paying them relative to their talents, pennies on the dollar. Clayton Kershaw is worth every penny that you pay him, but
yes,
they also drafted and developed him as well. So BJ and Marion has weighed in on the Hurtin and Stocker text line, by the way. Did 2011 through 2014 suck? Yes. But last night was everything. And that's it. It's all worth it if it works in the long run. The problem is, this is sports, and you don't know if it's going to
Nothing
work.
Nothing is guaranteed.
And someone on the text line wants to know, would you say that the Twins have intentionally tanked in order to rebuild? No, not necessarily. The Twins just had an atrocious run. They've missed on some draft picks, and they got stuck with the Joe Mauer contract. It's just, that's an organization that's in transition, and that's why they're bringing in Thad Levine and Derek Falvey to turn around that front office and give that organization a makeover, because there's no reason to be in the middle. And an organization like the Twins for a number of years, most recently, had just sort of been there in the middle. And you get those draft picks, you got to cash in on them. And we'll see what happens with Royce Lewis. I mean, they were very, very bad 2 years ago. And their reward was to have the number one overall pick. And we saw him here in Cedar Rapids at the tail end of the 2017 Midwest League season. And he looks like he's got a really bright future. And speaking of that, I was talking with Scott Unash earlier today about you, if you lived in Cedar Rapids, had an opportunity about 16 times in 2013 to see Carlos Correa, because Quad Cities played here a number of times, and he was with the River Bandits for most of the season. I think he may have gotten promoted to the California League the last couple weeks of the season, because their affiliate at the time was in the playoffs. But you can see tremendous talent like Carlos Correa coming through your backyard here in Cedar Rapids. And sometimes, like Mike Trout, you can see tremendous talent on any given night because he's in the home dugout as opposed to the away dugout. But, you know, I think back over the last 35, 40 years, Greg Maddux, Albert Pujols, there have been some tremendous
Brett Wallace.
Clayton Kershaw. Well, Brett Wallace and Justin Smoke were a couple guys that I remember watching come through the Midwest League thinking, okay, high draft picks. Everybody was saying that Justin Smoke was going to be the next Mark Teixeira, and I think we all know. Justin Smoke is not going to be doing commercials with David Ross in the coming years for SeatGeek or StubHub or whatever. Is that right? It's a ticket.
It's a ticket.
Ticket commercial, right?
Commercial, yes.
Somebody paid, by the way, last night $111,000 for two seats in the second row behind home plate. I hope they were Astros fans, but judging from the TV broadcast, it looked like they were mostly Dodgers fans behind the plate. Brent Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com is going to join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Would you? We'll kick off hour number three as well. And how would you like to maybe feel like you found the fountain of youth? Go back to the good old days when you had a little bit more energy, a little bit more stamina, and maybe you just felt a little sharper. Your memory was better. You know what I'm talking about because you've listened to the program for the last couple weeks. The website to check out if you have any concerns about some of the things that I just rattled off would be lowtusa.com. That's going to give you information on a new local men's health clinic called Mantality in North Liberty, which is convenient for everybody in the listening area because it's right between Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. It's combination man cave and doctor's office. As a matter of fact, they've got me checking out the office relatively soon so that I can better tell you about it. But from what I've heard, there is not a doctor's office on the planet like visiting Mantality. The best part is that you are actually dealing with board-certified physicians, and there's a good chance that if you've got health insurance, it's going to cover your treatment if you qualify for low testosterone treatment. And on top of that, you're not going into the office to get all the supplies. They ship them right to you, lowtusa.com and Mantality. Learn more at lowtusa.com. 523, another Midwest One Bank Big Board update on the way, and more. You're listening to the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on KGYM.
As GIs returned from overseas and families began to boom, young Willa Dickens began honing his watchmaking craft at a highly regarded jewelry store on a bustling corner in downtown Iowa City. He worked steadily behind his jeweler's glass, eventually taking over the business. And as his reputation grew, so did his family. Sons Terry and Tim spent afternoons at his knee, learning about gemstones, precious metals, and most importantly, how to properly treat a customer. And as the decades passed, the three of them, along with a remarkably dedicated staff of friends, as well as Willa's granddaughter Kate, continued the tradition of excellence and integrity begun at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers in 1947. Now, as they celebrate their 70th year, stop by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say congratulations to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
A piece of cake, a Sunday morning, ABC. Those are easy. So is earning the power rate and ATM refunds with power checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of power checking say they recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with power checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Welcome back in. It is 524. I'm just reading an article on CBS Sports by Will Brinson about the Andrew Luck situation in Indianapolis, and certainly doesn't paint the Colts in a good light for their handling of Andrew Luck. And I don't necessarily know if I were a Colts fan if I would be too happy about sort of being led to believe that he was going to be back on a field anytime soon this season, but we'll see what happens with them. They've got, is it Tennessee this weekend? I was just looking at the schedules earlier today because Thursday Night Football kicks off tonight with the Bills and the Jets. But Andrew Luck, if you have not heard the news today, two high-profile quarterbacks in the news. Andrew Luck is out for the week, and as luck would have it, no pun intended, they're playing the Houston Texans, who also will be without their starting quarterback, Deshaun Watson, for the remainder of the season. He has suffered a torn ACL. Did they say Tom Savage was the starter, right?
And yes.
Then Matt McGloin, who was Bill O'Brien's quarterback at Penn State when Bill O'Brien was in the Big Ten, has been signed as a backup. And Bob McNair, who's the owner of the Texans, has reportedly indicated that he is open to bringing Colin Kaepernick in for a workout. Now, a couple things at play here. Colin Kaepernick is currently suing the NFL, claiming that he is being blackballed by the league's owners. McNair made a very inappropriate comment about the NFL players, comparing them to inmates in a prison. And is this all possibly just a public relations stunt to submarine Colin Kaepernick's claim that he's being blackballed, and maybe buy Bob McNair a little bit of goodwill with a football-loving public that has suddenly soured on him, at least a portion of the football-loving public has?
Probably, but at this point, what does he have to lose?
Exactly, other than some football games, and he's already lost the presumable, he would have been a unanimous Rookie of the Year. Watson was doing things that a rookie quarterback hasn't done in quite a while, and doing them with such panache and flash that he was one of the few players in the league that was fun to watch. And now the Texans are just a walking mash unit. It's their third high-profile injury, as you mentioned earlier today.
The NFL has lost the rookie face of the league, has lost the defensive face of the league in J.J. Watt, has lost the offensive face of the league in Odell Beckham Jr., and all the off-the-field stuff and all of that has just made for a terrible year for the NFL. Whatever your opinion is, whatever side of this whole NFL discussion you are on, there is no denying that this has been a horrible year for the league.
Now, Pro Football Talk now is saying that the Howard Balzer report is a joke, and I can't see Howard doing that. But maybe he was fed some bad information by somebody, and that happens to all of us. It certainly happened to me before in the past, and we'll see. But that didn't necessarily pass the smell test when I first saw it earlier today. But, it remains to be seen. But Matt McGloin gives you a better chance to win. 319-366-1600. The number to reach us at. We'll have a Midwest One Bank Big Board update shortly, and Kyle's going to be joining us here. Midwest One bringing you the Big Board updates all throughout the program today as we get ready for Brent Bloom to join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. And speaking of, here he is. Time now for a Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one. Here's Kyle.
Fran McCaffrey and the Iowa basketball team will be in action for a second exhibition game tonight. They've got Belmont Abbey College coming to Carver Hawkeye Arena. Tip-off is set for 7:05, and tickets are just $5 for adults and free for kids and students. Belmont Abbey is making the trip from Belmont, North Carolina, and went 14-15 out of the Division II Conference Carolinas. Northern Iowa took one on the chin in Madison last night, falling to Wisconsin 69-38 in its exhibition game. To benefit the hurricane relief efforts, Juwan McLeod led the Panthers with 10 points, but all of that came within just the first 7 minutes. UNI struggled, but a lot of the credit should go to Wisconsin's defense, allowing just 32% shooting and forcing 16 turnovers. Freshman Badger guard Kobe King had a game-high 15 points. Former Hawkeye Micah Hyde is in his fifth season in the NFL and his first with the Bills. He's really hitting his stride in Buffalo. He leads the league with 5 interceptions and today was named the AFC Defensive Player of the Month after 4 of those picks came in October alone. Another former Hawkeye, Greg Maven, who was cut by the Bills early this year, was signed off the Niners practice squad and joined C.J. Beathard and George Kittle on the active roster. Tonight after the show, we've got Thursday Night Football. The surprising Bills travel to New York to take on the meddling Jets in an AFC East matchup. That will start just before 7:30, and we'll carry the coverage right after our show on all 3 KGYM frequencies.
We're going to head to a bottom of the hour Sports Center update, which is brought to you by CarePro Health Services. Connect with the people and answers you need at their next CPAP, BiPAP clinic. Get details at careprohealthservices.com. Brent Bloom of CycloneFanatic.com joins us next.
Did you work out a little too hard? Play a bit too rough at the weekend tailgate? Or maybe overdo it with yard work? Whatever it was, you're feeling it today.
Ooh.
So let CarePro Home Medical help. CarePro Home Medical has something to soothe that soreness, including Biofreeze, ice packs, cold therapy wraps, and pain relief devices to get you back to feeling better. Even weekend warriors need a little help sometimes. Visit CarePro Home Medical in Cedar Rapids or Coralville and connect with people and answers you need.
More than you paid Monday. You feel bamboozled. But then you hear this.
Domino's extended its $7.99 large three-topping carryout deal to all day, every day.
And so you danced and ate Domino's. Carryout only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown with breaking news. Texans rookie quarterback Deshaun Watson will miss the rest of the season after a non-contact injury today at practice. Watson will have surgery for a torn ACL. Tom Savage will start Sunday's game against the Colts. And speaking of the Colts, quarterback Andrew Luck won't play at all this season. The team puts him on injured reserve as he continues to recover from January surgery on his right shoulder. 2 weeks ago, Luck got a cortisone injection for soreness in that shoulder after getting back on the practice field. The Cowboys play Sunday against the Chiefs, and now they're waiting again for a court decision on running back Ezekiel Elliott. Today, the NFL filed with the Federal Court of Appeals, asking the court not to grant an emergency injunction, allowing Elliott to keep playing in spite of a six-game suspension. Week 9 kicks off tonight with the Bills and Jets at the Meadowlands. Cavaliers forward Tristan Thompson will likely be out 3 to 4 weeks after straining his left calf. Angels outfielder Justin Upton gets a new 5-year contract worth $106 million.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America.
Picture this. It's Monday afternoon and you're at Domino's buying a large three-topping pizza. You give the Domino's employee $7.99 plus tax, of course. Now, picture this. It's Friday and you're at Domino's buying a large three-topping pizza. You give the Domino's employee more than you paid Monday. You feel bamboozled. But then you hear this.
Domino's extended its $7.99 large three-topping carryout deal to all day, every day.
And so you danced and ate Domino's. Carryout only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Prices, participation, and charges may vary.
At Progressive, we think your handbag business with a reversible top-notch is top-notch. In fact, there's no other notch at the tippity-top your top-notch doesn't top. But even at the top, you didn't stop. You copped Progressive Business Insurance. With over 40 years of expertise helping non-stop and top-notchers notch spots at the top. Now, break out your stopwatch and hopscotch to ProgressiveCommercial.com. Because this is one opportunity you don't want to botch. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates.
Guys, come into the JCPenney men's store for your new fall look. Now through Sunday, get 50% off select outerwear, sweaters, and men's Arizona denim and tops. Plus, check out what's new in our Big and Tall shop. Find great styles of select items from the Foundry Big and Tall Supply Company starting at $11.99. We've got all the styles you need in your size, in-store and at jcp.com. Hurry in. Sale ends Sunday. JCPenney. Offers represent savings on regular original prices. While supplies last. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
Hey pros, from property updates to new construction, Lowe's makes it easy to save during our Ready to Refresh event. Get up to 30% off appliance special values, including great brands like GE. That's up to 30% off washers, dryers, refrigerators, and more. And knock new doors off your list with up to 10% off select in-stock Therma-Tru entry doors. For details, see lowesforpros.com or stop by the Pro Desk at your nearest Lowe's. Appliance offer valid 9/28 through 10/31. Door offer valid 10/23 through 11/3. Selection varies by store, U.S. only.
Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, coming your way on a Thursday night. Remember, join us tomorrow. We'll be back in Iowa City. The KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire comes to you from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. We'll be chatting with former Iowa running back Albert Young in the 6 o'clock hour tomorrow night. From Hawkeye chat, briefly, to the Cyclones. Let's bring on Brent Bloom, as promised, to touch on our weekly segment with him. And Brent, just what was your reaction when you saw Iowa State crack the top 15 of the college football playoff poll this week?
That's pretty cool. I mean, I think that's probably based on the resume where they should be, is right around, you know, 14, 15, somewhere in there. But still a little surreal just to see Iowa State's name in there with the rest of the big boys. And, you know, Iowa State's earned it. Probably two of the best wins of any team in conference play in the country. And it makes you wonder, actually, if they don't drop one of those two games to Iowa or Texas, where they actually might be. But I'm not going to get greedy. This is a pretty fun ride. Pretty special October for Iowa State.
All of us coming into the year, or at least most of us, were talking about, can this team get to the six-win mark? And I think Matt Campbell is realizing that. And what is he trying to do to his team to keep them motivated and still show that they have something to prove down the stretch?
Well, I think it's just that is the season's far from over. There are four games left, plus a lot more on the table. And I always say it's gotten to six wins, but you guys probably all saw the quote from Matt Campbell after the game, essentially saying that crap programs care about 6-6. And I mean, I think that's the message is you guys are good. Like, there's plenty more to do. You don't have to just be happy because you get to a bowl game and you make it go to the Heart of Dallas Bowl. Like, aim a little higher here. And you can do things that Iowa State programs have never done before. And I think that's the great thing with this team is they are grounded and they realize that if they do what they've been doing, and that's just playing mistake-free football, there's nobody they can't beat. And that's the exciting part is there's four games left in this Big 12 schedule plus whatever else is out there, and the season's far from over.
But how have they not gotten caught up in what's going on here? Because I remember when Iowa sort of turned the corner under Kirk Ferentz 16, 17 years ago, there was a little bit, the excitement crept into the program just a little bit. How are these guys staying so grounded?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it just comes from the top of, you know, not getting too excited after big wins. Even when Iowa State beat Oklahoma on the road, there wasn't a big party like Paul Rhodes had after he beat Texas in 2010. And even in the locker room against TCU, obviously excited, but it was, you know, let's come back here tomorrow and get back to work. And Iowa State's got a rule in the season that they're not allowed to go to the bars, you know, during season play. And these guys are just, there's a bunch of really good leaders too. And I think when you look at the leadership of this program, it starts with guys like Brian Peavy, Kamari Kotmoya, Joel Lanning, Alan Lazard, guys that haven't had success before, and they want to keep tasting that success. They're not going to get caught up in it now. They waited 5 years to get to a bowl game, so let's make this as special as possible.
Let's talk about the defense, and it seems like we're talking about it every week. There's trying to keep the other team in front of you, and then there's giving up 13 total points in the last 3 weeks. How unbelievable has this stretch been?
It's unreal. I don't get it. It's everything they've done is unbelievable. Just think about this. Iowa State allowed 23 points to Iowa in fourth quarter and overtime. In the last 14 quarters, the defense has allowed 20 points total. So one quarter versus Iowa, and you guys have seen that offense, and pretty good offenses in the Big 12, but it just goes to show how much turnovers can impact things. And then, like you said, is just keeping things in front of you. The longest play against Iowa State in Big 12 play has been 35 yards. So in five games, they've kept everything in front of them and making teams earn it down the field. And as TCU showed, they've allowed teams to get inside of the red zone, but that's when they've stepped up and, you know, held teams to field goals or gotten turnovers. And if you're getting turnovers and keeping teams out of the end zone, I'm not a smart man, but that's a good recipe for success.
Brent Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com joining us here on a Thursday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on KGYM. They're going to face another stiff test this weekend in West Virginia. What's the key to slowing down the Mountaineers?
They may be as good offense as anybody else in the Big 12, and I think they're right on par with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. And the key for them is it's the same as it has been the last few weeks, and that's make them earn it down the field. And West Virginia has been really good, but they have been turnover prone, especially the last couple of weeks. They had four turnovers against Oklahoma State. That was really their undoing a week ago in Morgantown, and they haven't been able to run the ball as effectively as they usually do the last 3 weeks. They've had some guys going in and out of the offensive line. So what West Virginia did against Iowa State last year, they ran it right down their throat with Crawford, and he's back, but they just haven't quite had the same movement. So same thing the last few weeks. Keep everything in front of you, stop the run, and then capitalize on Will Greer when he's going to make a mistake. He's thrown for 370 yards per game. He's really good. But if you make him throw it down the field over and over again, I think there will be opportunity for an interception. Iowa State has done that and capitalized. But this is a really good offense. I do not envision Iowa State keeping them under 20 points like they have the past few games. I think this game gets into the high 20s, even into the 30s. So it's going to be up to the Iowa State offense to take advantage of the opportunities that are there for them.
You mentioned the Florida transfer, Will Greer. What has he brought to this Mountaineers offense?
You know, they just had really good offense. I mean, Dana Holgorsen is, I think, one of the better offensive minds in college football. And they've been plug-and-play quarterback there for 5-6 years since he's been there. And Greer has stepped right in. He may be the most talented West Virginia quarterback since Geno Smith, who hasn't really panned out in the NFL. But really nice arm, and he's not afraid to throw it down the field. And they have a receiver in David Sills, who leads the nation in touchdown receptions at 15. So they take a lot of deep shots. I think that's going to be fascinating. Is, as I said before, teams have not been able to get over the top on Iowa State the past several weeks, and West Virginia is going to try that over and over again, and can they hold up? So Will Greer's not afraid to throw it into tight windows, throw it deep downfield, and this is a game where if Iowa State can keep him under 300 yards, I think it's a success.
Does losing Bryce Meeker affect the ground game at all for Iowa State, or is Sean Foster going to be able to hold the line just as well?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, the only thing you lose there with Meeker is a little bit of experience, but Foster's been interchangeable at times with Meeker, and Foster even started a game earlier this year. So the question is, if they have any other injuries on the offensive line, what do they do? Because Meeker was more of your utility guy. He could have played a couple different places, so that's the concern there. But I think Foster will hold up okay. It's just they're losing a little bit of depth there on the rest of the offensive line, and it has been relatively healthy all season.
What can this team do to get the passing game going a little bit more? I know that they've played a couple of really good some really good defenses here in Big 12 play, but what can they do to get it going?
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a huge key, Alex, this week is against West Virginia, who's been susceptible to the big play in the pass game. So more than anything, I think it's getting David Montgomery going. As silly as that sounds, is that'll set up everything else. And West Virginia has been giving up some yardage on the ground as well. I mean, this is not a great defense. I think they're 98th in the country in defense. So it starts with Montgomery, getting him established to bring those guys up, and then that's when you can go to your big play threats. And in the first half against TCU, Iowa State was really good with Kemp going to those big receivers and Eaton, Lazard, and Butler. It's just they locked down then in the second half, and Iowa State kind of got really conservative with a 14-point lead. So it's take advantage of the plays that are there. And I think really in this game, Iowa State can go at West Virginia on the perimeter with a lot of that outside screen stuff that was effective against Oklahoma. They kind of went away from it a little bit, but I think with the weapons Iowa State has, they should be able to move the ball through the air, and especially on the ground against West Virginia. And I think the key for Iowa State to get Montgomery up over 150 yards, if they do that, I think they can be very successful offensively.
Let's move back to the defensive side of the football for just 1 second. I watched that West Virginia-Oklahoma State game last week, and I agree with you what you said, that Oklahoma State did a good job of keeping West Virginia's offense in front of them and forcing Will Greer to throw interception after interception. And it was kind of a weird game because the defenses were controlling the game, even though it was a high-scoring football game. That's exactly what Iowa State has done. That type of defense is exactly what they've done in Big 12 play. Is this just going to be kind of a one-size-fits-all game plan the rest of Big 12 play for John Haycock's crew?
Yeah, they really haven't changed it a whole lot. Now, they've mixed in a couple looks here and there, but it's that three down lineman front, and then with those three linebackers, and you've got interchangeable nickelbacks in there, and it's been really effective. The key for them is, one, they've been able to stop the run with three, and you've seen it over and over again. These teams think they can run against Iowa State against three, and other than TCU has some success in the second half, they've been able to stop that, so what happens is when you drop eight, like Iowa State's been doing, is these quarterbacks get really frustrated because they just can't beat you over the top of that because they got the two safeties way deep. And so everything's, you know, underneath, and then these teams kind of panic and start forcing balls, and that's when Iowa State gets the interception. So I think that's the same game plan this week. I do think West Virginia has some things they can do against Iowa State that other teams haven't been able to do. So I don't expect, you know, a really strong under 20 point, under 400 yard performance for Iowa State. That said, it's still the effective recipe, and it's the same K-State method that we've been talking about for years, what K-State has done, and it has ability to frustrate teams. So I don't expect that to change, and Iowa State's defense has to be locked and loaded once again.
Do you have a favorite Matt Campbell job rumor at this point? Is there one out there that really sticks out to you?
Gosh, I mean, I don't even know anymore. I'm going to say no to Nebraska and Tennessee. Now, the Florida thing is kind of interesting, but here's my thought on this, guys. I don't think he goes anywhere unless there's a big-time job in the mid-Atlantic, Ohio, Pennsylvania area, because I just think that Campbell has shown that he can win here, at least he has this year, and he's done it relatively quickly, and they've got a really good class coming in next year with a bunch of returning players. And by the way, that $9.3 million buyout is expensive too. So if I were Iowa State fans, enjoy it. Don't worry about it too much, but it's going to be around, and that means Matt Campbell's coveted, and I'm okay with that.
Kind of the success of the football program coming at a good time, because it looks like the basketball team may take a step back this year, although that remains to be seen. Exhibition game coming up Sunday night against Emporia State. What do we know about the Cyclones basketball team at this point?
Well, they did have a scrimmage, you know, the secret scrimmages that aren't really secret anymore. So they played at Nebraska last Sunday and lost by 8. Now, did not have Zoran Talley in that game, did not play to a coach's decision. I don't know what that means, but Talley's a player they were counting on to potentially start. So we'll see if he even plays on Sunday. I have no idea what's going on with him. But Iowa State, as we expect in that game, leading scorers were in the backcourt. I think Jackson at 20, Wigginton at 14. So it's going to be a work in progress, like you talked about. The Iowa State in February will be a lot different than the one in November. I think Iowa State will take a few lumps in the non-conference and then even in the Big 12, early part of Big 12 play. But this team, hopefully by the time February, March rolls around, they're in that conversation for the postseason and maybe on the bubble. But I think that, you know, if you want to get a comparison, you look at Iowa from a year ago, and I think it's a fair comparison of what Iowa State fans can expect, a young team that grows throughout the year. Is hopefully knocking on the door, but will be some interesting pieces for sure. And I think that first game against Missouri next Friday, we'll find out right away, because that's a very talented Mizzou team, and that could be a rough start for Iowa State.
One last basketball question before we move on to a special. We're gonna bring you in on something that we do here on Thursdays, but I'll ask one last basketball question for you. Is it safe to say that we can put the talk of Steve Prohm not being a good recruiter to bed?
Yes. I think you can put that away. I mean, this is a really good class. I think it's the best high school class Iowa State has signed in a number of years, since at least I've been following it. Really good class all the way around. They've, you know, positions of need in every. They got a big man. They got a couple swing guys. They got a point guard coming in, and you know the Talen Horton Tucker situation. The kid they got out of Chicago is unique in that there is some controversy with his AU program and, you know, the Illinois Illini program as well, you know, some questions there, but Steve Prohm was right there to benefit from the controversy, and he swooped up and got Horton Tucker, and so he adds another dimension to this Iowa State recruiting class, and with Horton Tucker and Griffin and George Condit, those are three guys from the Chicagoland area that Iowa State has swooped in and got, and top 30 recruiting class for Steve Prohm, and reloading on, you know, what will be a team that be some new faces this year, but then you start looking to the future into 18, 19, and 20, and some building blocks for Iowa State into the future.
Okay, so on Thursdays, we do a little segment that we like to call Would Ya? And I know that you saw the picture that I retweeted a couple days ago of the candy corn pizza. And I
yes,
know
disgusting.
What your I know what your reaction to that was. So here's my question for you. Would you rather eat a candy corn pizza or never be able to eat another pizza again in your life?
Oh, man. Oh, I think I'd eat the candy corn pizza, and, you know, I might have a miserable 2 days, you know, where, you know, just going back and forth between that and, you know, the old utility closet, but I think it's worth it. I love pizza. I love pizza, so I can't give that up. I'll fight it. I'll fight candy corn just for that lifetime of good memories of pizza.
But you had to stop and think about it, and that's the whole point. All right, Brent, we appreciate it as always. We'll touch base with you next week. Thanks for the time.
You got it, guys. I'm just glad candy corn season's over.
It's over. It's on the clearance rack.
You bet. See you guys.
2:30 kickoff Saturday afternoon in Morgantown for the Cyclones, and the basketball season gets underway with an exhibition against Emporia State on Sunday. I believe that's a 5:00 tip-off inside Hilton Coliseum. Interesting times in Ames, Iowa, with the football program and the men's basketball program getting ready to get underway. You and I played its exhibition against Wisconsin last night at the Kohl Center. Did not go very well for the Panthers, but hopefully you build on that and use it as a learning experience if you're Ben Jacobson and you and I. Iowa will be back in action tonight, the second and final exhibition game for Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes before the season starts for real. They play Belmont Abbey out of North Carolina tonight and get there early. There's going to be plenty of tickets available, but the traffic is what's been a nightmare, at least in the early going. 5:51, we'll step aside and take a quick break. We come back. We've got a lot more to get to tonight, including would ya in hour number three. It's the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on 106.3 and 107.5 FM, 1600 AM KGYM.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier football team began their quest for a 3A state championship with a 43-10 victory over Oskaloosa last Friday night at Saints Field. After a bit of a slow start in the rain and cold, the Saints got rolling behind their defense and running game. Braden Stobie ran for 185 yards and a pair of touchdowns, and Quinn Schulte added 138 yards and three scores. In addition, McLean Berger had a pair of interceptions, including one for a touchdown. The 10-0 Saints will now host Davenport Assumption in a 3A quarterfinal tomorrow, a game you can catch on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM. Join Xavier for the third annual Dancing with the Saints, January 20th at the Doubletree by Hilton Convention Center. Tickets go on sale November 15th. Meet the dancers and coaches at xaviersaints.org/DWTS.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company, family-owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Connecting with your family and friends is what La Cantina is all about. This football season, add sizzle to the game. La Cantina would be happy to cater your tailgate. Or reserve La Cantina's party room and watch the action on their big screen while you crunch, sip, and cheer. La Cantina makes every football game a winner. Connect at La Cantina in the Fountains on Edgewood Road, in Marion, and in downtown Cedar Rapids. La Cantina is now accepting applications for positions at all three locations.
Are you ready for a place to call home instead of just another job? Family-owned Midwest Metal Products might be just what you're looking for. They're a small company with big opportunities, and they've been very good to their employees for over 50 years. See a video tour at MidwestMetalProducts.biz to find out if it's a place you'd like to call home. They have second shift openings now and provide on-the-job training. Midwest Metal Products in Cedar Rapids is an equal employment opportunity employer. Non-tobacco users only. Drug screen and physical required.
Begin the countdown to the 2018 Corridor Classic Tour de Cure tomorrow from 11 to 2 at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. 15 minutes south of Iowa City, or go to diabetes.org/Corridor Classic.
Welcome back in. Hour number two drawing to a close. Thursday night football is on the horizon tonight. And NBA fans, got some big news for you, especially if you are a fan of the NBA Combine in Chicago, because the NBA has announced today that the draft lottery is going to take place in Chicago in May. May 15th is the date for the lottery. And that coincides because the Combine starts the 16th through the 20th in Chicago. So this year's ping pong ball extravaganza, as Casey Johnson of the Chicago Tribune refers to it as, will be held in Chicago. And there's a pretty good chance that the Chicago Bulls will have plenty of ping pong balls in the hopper.
I think that's safe to say. I was just going to say that every time the NBA Draft Combine gets brought up, it just reminds me as a little kid being shut down by Patrick Ewing, the now head coach of the Georgetown Hoyas. He was staying in the same hotel I was at in Chicago. I was 10 years old. Asked for an autograph. Sorry, kid. Don't sign autographs.
Walked away. Shot down by Patrick Ewing.
Shot down.
Oh, he signs
it was crushing.
He signs him if you pay him. because I know he does a lot of paid signings with Steiner Sports in New York. We'll see how he does in the head coaching ranks.
That'll be very interesting to see.
5:55, let's bring Kyle back into the studio. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Fran McCaffrey and the Iowa basketball team will be in action for its second exhibition game tonight. They've got Belmont Abbey College coming to Carver Hawkeye Arena. Tip-off is set for 7:05 and tickets are just $5 for adults and free for kids and students. Belmont Abbey's making the trip from Belmont, North Carolina and went 14-15 out of the Division II Conference Carolinas. Northern Iowa took one on the chin in Madison last night, falling to Wisconsin 69-38 in its exhibition game to benefit hurricane relief efforts. Juwan McLeod led the Panthers with 10 points, but all that came within the first 7 minutes of the game. UNI then struggled, but a lot of the credit should go to Wisconsin's defense, allowing just 32% shooting and forcing 16 turnovers. Freshman Badger guard Kobe King had a game-high 15 points, while Ethan Happ and Khalil Iverson each had 9. Former Hawkeye Micah Hyde is in his fifth season in the NFL and his first with the Bills, and he's really hitting a stride now in Buffalo. He leads the league with 5 interceptions and today was named the AFC Defensive Player of the Month after 4 of those picks came in October. Another former Hawkeye, Greg Maven, who was cut by the Bills earlier this year, was signed off the Niners practice squad and joined CJ Beathard and George Kittle on the active roster. Tonight after the show, we've got Thursday Night Football. The surprising Bills travel to New York to take on the meddling Jets in an AFC East matchup. That will start just before 7:30, and we'll carry the coverage right after our show on all 3 frequencies.
We will set your fantasy football lineups tonight with those Jets and Bills. I don't know how many options either one of those teams probably has for you, but
one less option for the Bills. Adam Schefter is reporting that Kelvin Benjamin will not play this week.
The first game after the big trade, and he's not playing.
That's correct.
Huh. Is that an injury or precautionary?
I'm not sure. Maybe he hasn't been with the team long enough to play, but he is out tonight, according to Adam Schefter.
Well, speaking of players being out tonight, Iowa basketball is announcing on its Twitter account that Isaiah Moss will be held out of the exhibition with Belmont Abbey as a precautionary measure. He's got a little bit of an ankle injury. Moss, one of the players in the mix for backup point guard minutes behind Jordan Bohannon. It'd be interesting to see how Connor McCaffrey does in game number 2 tonight. 18 minutes last Friday in the exhibition opener, 5 points, all coming off free throws again. Hawkeye is at home tonight at Carver Hawkeye Arena, the second and final exhibition contest, and we'll break it all down for you tomorrow. Rob Howe will join me from HawkeyeNation.com at 5:30 as Alex is ready to do a little high school football. Hour number 3 on the way after this.
DirecTV has been rated number 1 in customer satisfaction over cable.